Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have an important show, one I'm looking forward to because it's all about knowledge and it's about being able to know what you don't know so that you can make a conscious decision. I know everybody is keying in on the economy and what we can do to prepare ourselves and to put ourselves in the best position to keep our freedom. I think part of what gets people into trouble, I don't care if it's healthcare or whatever, it's fear. And it's this inability to make a decision. And I find that people are fearful when they don't have all the information. And maybe a couple of months ago, I had a husband and wife on, the Albers, who talked about various ways to use health insurance policies, or I should say life insurance policies, to help with healthcare needs. I had never heard of that. And so I wanted to revisit the ability to, you know, to have policies in place that could protect your wealth. I mean, I personally don't think the stock market is the safest. I don't think at this point that banks are the safest. And I want to have some sort of different ways to make myself whole down the road in case. And it's really what it's about. It's about in case things happen. So today I wanted to invite Mr. Scott Wirtz. He is the creator of Rocky Mountain Financial. And he's been in the financial services for more than 30 years. He got his start as an intern with the insurance firm Primerica in 1992. After he graduated from University of Utah in economics, he worked for Fidelity Investments and later worked for Mutual of New York, AXA Advisors, Morgan Stanley, and Wells Fargo. He's helped customers with planning and goal setting for their savings, insurance needs, and loan needs. He's also spent 15 years helping financial and other professionals by training and supporting their clients' needs in life insurance, long-term care, disability, and health insurance. And for the past 17 years, he's been running his own brokerage, this Rocky Mountain Financial Services LLC. He has a family. He has lots of things that I'm sure that keep him busy. But I wanted to thank you, Mr. Wirtz, for coming on today because I'm looking forward to our conversation. I'm looking forward to gaining more knowledge about how I can become self-sufficient.
Thanks for having me, Dr. George. It's a pleasure. And your show has quite a reputation. I'm honored. And, you know, it's fun to be able to talk about some exciting things that normally are not very exciting to other people. But to me, with what I've learned, I'm excited to share some things that hopefully will help people improve their quality of life.
Well, I agree with you. So let's start from the beginning. I mean, you've been in corporate America, you're on the banking industry, all sorts of things. How did you end up creating the Rocky Mountain Financial Services?
Well, yeah, sometimes things happen by accident and sometimes they don't. I think that it was a combination of accident and just a desire to get information out to customers about life insurance. And so basically, before I started my business, I was with a company called Crump Insurance, and they're a brokerage, and I wholesaled. So my job was to work with financial advisors and train them on products and services. A lot of times I worked with financial planners who were very good at managing assets, but when it came to different insurance needs, they came to brokerages like us. And we were their back office and helped them find the best solutions for their clients' needs. And I loved being able to study about different concepts coming on market and pass them on to agents and help them with their clients. And so after several years of doing that, I realized that I could probably do this better on my own. And thus it was born. It was started. So that's how I got my start.
Well, you know, when I think about life insurance or the insurance market, and especially I think we're all pretty much reared on you buy a life insurance policy to protect your family, your loved ones, even to bury yourself in a comprehensive way. But it's grown from that, hasn't it? That's really just only one aspect of the policies that are being sold now, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. People that feel that way just don't know what's in the market today, what you can do. It's amazing. The best analogy I have is someone that saves and saves to go on a cruise, and he just doesn't understand what the cruise is all about. So he saves and he gets in a skimpy room and he stays there. He doesn't go to any of the concerts, the programs, the activities, the food, not even the food. He brought his own food, peanut butter and crackers. And he looked through the little hole in his room for a week. And actually, up until maybe the last 2 days, the guy came in to change his sheets and told him, asked him why he hasn't been out to take advantage of the activities and the food. And he said, because it costs money. And I'm very limited on my budget. And he said, no, all those things are complimentary. And so the last 2 days, it turned out to be wonderful for him. But he almost missed out on everything. And so I like to think of that analogy as the insurance industry. There's been some great things that have happened. And maybe I could just start out and explain to people an example of a couple that were saving for retirement. Okay. So let's say we have a 30-year-old couple with a couple of children, and they're saving for retirement. Well, traditionally, based on thinking of life insurance just as a pure death benefit, they save up and they want to retire, let's say, $6,000 in today's dollars. Well, by the time they retire, with inflation, they're going to need to save $12,000 a month. They're going to need to have that kind of income to maintain their quality of life. So let's say they do that and they accomplish it through saving through their qualified plan, their 401k, maybe some other savings. Irregardless, they save up to $12,000 a month and they pull it from their 401k, their qualified money. Well, the challenge is that money received a deduction on the front end, but there's no deduction on the back end. So they have to pay taxes. And let's say, just for sake of easy math, because we don't know what the tax rate's going to be in 35 years, but let's say it's 25%. They end up paying 25% tax on, so they get a net income of $9,000. Okay. And that could affect them. But option two is, because they've learned about life insurance, they could still save that and earn and qualify to take that $12,000 to live on per month. But let's say they save $6,000 a month from the qualified plan, the 401k. And then the other six comes from their life insurance savings. And so they're not saving anything additional. They're saving the same amount of money. The return's the same. Let's make all those assumptions the same. But the net amount, just based purely on taxes, is they're going to get an extra $1,500 a month. Why? Because the $6,000 that comes from life insurance, if structured properly, one of the benefits the IRS allows life insurance is it's like a Roth IRA. There's zero tax when it comes out if it's structured properly. And so they're going to get an extra $1,500 a month, everything else being equal, for doing the same savings that they're already doing on option one, where they save all their money in a 401k. That's one of the things that life insurance can do. It can diversify the risk of your taxes when you retire, because we don't know what taxes are going to do. So it's always good to diversify your risk and have money in different options that's taxed differently. Make sense?
Makes absolute sense. And I'd like to take our first break because I want to explore the different policies that are available for your life insurance. So let's take our first break. You're living okay. In the Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Scott Wirtz. And people can go to his website, Rocky Mountain Financial. It's RockyMountainFinancial.com. Am I correct?
Right now, that's a tough one to answer. So I'm going to think about that. Right now, I have a website, RockyMountainSettlements.com, that talks about a specific sales idea with life insurance.
Okay.
And I do not have one set up for Rocky Mountain Financial.
So at the end, I'll say it again so that they can go to the proper website. So okay. Prior to the break, we were talking about life insurance. And I've heard of a few, term life and other things that other policies that people can buy. Can you expound on that? What are the different life insurance policies that exist, and why would you want to pick them?
Yes, so that's a great question. There are different types. I like to divide them up into two different types. One is temporary insurance, and the other one is permanent insurance. Temporary is you need that insurance for a block of time. And permanent insurance is you need that coverage for your whole life, your entire life. So there's the temporary insurance is term. And the way that works is underwriters, based on how long of a term you choose, will underwrite the pricing of that policy based on your risk of dying in that period of time. So if you bought a 10-year life, term life policy, the rate would be extremely inexpensive for 10 years. And then if you do keep it, which they do, most companies do allow you to keep, it jumps dramatically because the risk is now a lot higher. It's more than you just living 10 years, you're assuming that you'll keep it. So it does go up pretty dramatically. But that's a great way to buy for a temporary need. So when people are planning for their life insurance and when they're planning for that need, they think of, well, my kids are young. The mortgage is, we're just starting on paying for our house. We're going to have some expenses that are going to be temporary. That mortgage will be paid off in 30 years, hopefully, right? Or sooner. And so they can buy some term insurance and set it up to equal the time for any of those short-term needs. If they die sooner than later, there's going to be a cost for college funding that they may want to consider. And other expenses to take care of the spouse who, depending on what she does for work or if she stays at home, you know, there's different planning that short and long-term planning that goes into account for her. So term insurance is for a temporary need. It's designed to get a large amount of coverage for a short period of time, you know, 30 years or less typically. And whole life insurance or permanent life insurance is designed for that need that's going to last a lifetime. Those final expenses, no matter what, are going to last a lifetime. Legacy, a lot of people would like to leave money for kids and grandkids. College funding for grandkids. For business owners, it's to permanent life insurance could be a need that they can take with them after they retire to help supplement their retirement. Short-term need could be for if case one of the partners or a key employee dies, and it costs a lot of money and time to continue that business, especially if that key employee had a big impact on the business, had a lot of relationships that could be lost. He did some important things that it takes somebody with specialized training and time and money to bring somebody on to continue that business, if that makes sense. So that's the two different types. And, you know, you've got some new products that people may not be aware of. It's called return or refund of premium term. So anywhere from 15, 20 or 30 years, you pay your premium. It's a little bit more than the traditional term, but at the end of that period, you get a full refund, 100% back of the money that you put into it. And over 30 years, that can be considerable. So a lot of people will use that for a forced savings planning so that when they receive that check, it's tax-free and they can use it to help with college funding, to pay off a mortgage, to supplement retirement or whatever they want. And then for permanent insurance, to let you know quickly, you can buy what it is it's a life insurance product that will last their entire life and it has a savings component to it. So it allows you to save based on the most conservative guaranteed interest rate all the way up to the most aggressive investments you can buy, you know, like securities. So it's just like in your 401k. You can have those same type of investments in life insurance. And the reason why they offer that is because of the IRS giving their blessing to life insurance and allowing tax-favored savings and withdrawals. So it's a wonderful blessing to have life insurance where you can still have a savings component and allow tax-free income.
Now, this sounds like a lot more leeway. You know, some of these 401ks I'm dealing now with trying to pay for a healthcare need, and it's like jumping through hoops to get that. From what you described, it sounds like you can use this for, it's basically you can use it for anything that you want to use it for. Is it only after it reaches its term? Or are you allowed to borrow it before the end and then pay it back?
There are some policies that you can borrow from in the first year. Now, most of the time, because it's a combination of life insurance and savings, some of the money that you're putting into it obviously pays for the cost of insurance, but the rest of it goes into that separate vehicle that you can use anytime. In fact, there is a planning concept called infinite banking that anyone can look up online, do a Google search. But it's a wonderful concept where instead of going to your bank for loans, you go to your own life insurance policy. Because once you build up savings, and instead of paying a bank or liquidating an asset, you can go to your life insurance and take a loan. Now, you can take a withdrawal, which reduces your cash value, or you can take a loan on your money. And the wonderful, unique thing about life insurance is that when you take that loan, let's say I want to buy a $30,000 car. I take $30,000 out. Well, I have a loan on that policy now, and I'm paying interest, but I'm paying my own interest. The interest is going back to me, going back to my account. That's one of the requirements by the IRS. But we pay back the loan, and guess what? Instead of the growth on that account, that savings account every year being less than $30,000, it's still the same amount. So we're still receiving growth on money that we took out. But because we took it out as a loan, we're able to still to receive growth on a full balance. Does that make sense?
That's amazing. I just want to say this, make sure I understand this. Unlike taking a loan from a bank where you're paying that loan and you're paying that interest, you're getting pretty much nothing back for it. You're your own banker, right? So you're ending up helping yourself and still being whole at the same time. Is there taxes associated with paying that interest, or can you write it off? I mean, might as well ask.
So I'm not an accountant. I couldn't tell you if you could write it off, but what I can tell you is that if it's structured properly, no, you shouldn't be paying taxes on that loan, because it is a loan. You treat it just like if you go to your bank to get a loan. You're not going to pay tax on that loan. So it's really just a way to maximize your revenue. You're getting growth, and at the same time, you're being able to leverage your savings, your wealth, by getting a loan out and to make purchases. It's probably one of the most efficient ways and best ways to take a loan. And a lot of people don't understand this concept. It does take specialized insurance products, specialized whole life and specialized equity index universal life products. But yeah, done properly, it's something that will increase your wealth even more so, because like I said, instead of paying a bank that interest, you're paying yourself that interest, which is only going to improve your savings, right?
Absolutely. And another way, correct me if I'm wrong, to think about it, you don't have to ask permission. You're not going through all these hoops to meet the criteria, which change like the sand, it seems like. You don't have to worry about that. You are your own loan. You know, you're making your own loan to yourself for whatever reason.
That's right. The bank can, the life insurance company can send you a check for the loan amount, or they can wire the money into your bank right away. And guess what? You're still getting growth on that money, even though, because you're leveraging wealth. It's what a lot of wealthy people do. They leverage their wealth. They don't use it. They just say, I have it. And then they get lines of credit and they still get to keep it. So you get to do the same thing with life insurance. And what another thing that people don't understand is you don't have to start making premiums. You can pay for life insurance in a combination of lump sum and premium. So if someone wanted to take a loan, buy a car, they could technically transfer $30,000 into a life insurance policy, then start making premiums, and then they could take a loan out a short time later for that and still be able to get growth on that money.
Now, from the standpoint of, again, I want listeners to be clear on this. This is a different pot. This is not the bank's, you know, you put money in the bank, that's no longer your money, technically. This is a whole separate system. This is not banking. This is life insurance. I mean, it's the insurance market or pool that we're dealing with. It's a completely separate entity, is it not?
That's correct. Wow. It is your money. And if, like, this works really well with mutual life insurance companies, where all the policy holders are the owners, and that's when they receive dividends, which it's a great way to diversify, because a lot of people that invest for retirement, they're investing long term, and they're going moderately aggressive to aggressive typically in securities. Well, with a mutual fund, mutual company, life insurance company, it's based on the profitability of the insurance companies, which some have been around since before the Great Depression. So they survive all the different financial turmoils that we've experienced, and they're very solid, stable companies. It's a great conservative option to diversify your investments.
Well, from the standpoint of buying one of these policies, how long would it take for you to be able to draw a loan? You have to pay in a certain amount or be in there a certain amount of time? What's the average time frame that somebody, once they open one of these policies, take advantage of that aspect?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, if there are some policies that you can take in the first year, so it could be shortly after a couple of months. Most of them, if you're making premium payments, you've got to build up some cash value. If you have an opportunity to dump in, make a larger dump to transfer some of the wealth into the policy, that'll reduce your premium and start the growth sooner. And then you can also start and receive a loan sooner. So same year, maybe within a few months after it's been opened. But ideally, it's usually after the first or second year if there's not a lump sum dumped in.
Got you. Mm-hmm. On that note, let's take our second break. You're living in the solution.
You're listening to Dr. Elena George, advocate for living in the solution.
Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Scott Wirtz. And again, you can go to his website, RockyMountainSettlements.com. And before the break, we were talking about strategies to maintain your wealth. I would be curious to know, it sounds like people do more than one thing, right? What's the best, in your opinion, and what you've seen? How do people start the process? And how old are they when they generally start this process?
So are we talking just about the savings program, or are we talking about just getting life insurance in general? Or,
well, let's start off with the savings program.
Okay. So it's a lot like when they meet with their financial professional, their asset manager, talking about their assets. A life insurance agent that specializes in this type of program can really, it's good for them to know the big picture of what they're trying to accomplish. Because obviously, this program is going to complement their long-term savings. So we need to know what their plans are, what investments they have. It's good to know those details to get an idea of what kind of policy for them to get, how much. Ultimately, this is designed for someone who already has a life insurance need. If they don't have any need for insurance, this is probably not a good option for them, strictly because of the cost of the life insurance. It's better they work with a traditional securities product. But so we find out what their need is, long-term and short-term, and we set them up with a policy that'll be ideal for them. And we need to know how much they're able to save long-term. And we know it can go up, but initially we need to have an idea of how much they save, because that will have an effect as well on the size of the policy. So really, it's just a matter of sitting down with an agent and going through a review.
And from the standpoint of putting the money in, it's post-tax, or is it,
mm-hmm. Yes.
And so when take it out, you're not going to be nailed, are you?
No. Uncle Sam needs their money somehow. They're going to tax money in every situation somehow. So it's going to be after-tax dollars, just like a Roth IRA. But unlike the Roth IRA, there's no limitations how much you can contribute, how much money you make, or when you can take it out, or how you can take it out. They don't have the same limitations. But yeah, it's like a Roth IRA. It's after-tax dollars that grow tax-deferred and then can be withdrawn through loans tax-free.
Got you. So let's talk about the other side, just a standard life insurance policy. And at the beginning of the show, I talked about the ability to sell your policy and use that money to a broker and use that money for any health need. This is slightly different, right? This is your life insurance, which you pay into if it's term, right? And you get your, you get that, what you put in back out at the end. Is that the only way to do it? Or can you leave it as a legacy for your loved ones? Is that a different type of policy? I mean, how can you do both, basically?
Yeah, very good. So the nice thing is with life insurance companies, you're constantly looking at, just like when you look at your security statement, you're looking at your life insurance statement. You've got a component. You've got to keep a policy. You're dealing with the cost of insurance, but you're also needing to take out money at the same time. So through just working with the illustration software, and you can determine how much a client can take out. You know, they could take it all out, but in order to make it tax-free, the policy needs to remain in force, okay? It needs to remain in force because once that policy is canceled, then the IRS says, okay, there's no longer the life insurance need. The policy has been canceled. So they're going to calculate how much growth was in the policy and determine a tax liability at that point. That's why it has to be carefully structured. But the amazing thing is with compounding growth over the years, you can calculate a safe amount to take out and still leave the policy in force so that your beneficiaries will receive the remaining amount of death benefit tax-free. When you take out a loan, it subtracts from the death benefit. It subtracts from the cash value so that you'll get a net death benefit. Your beneficiaries receive a net death benefit. But a lot of times, if this is done properly, once the cash value gets to a certain amount, it's going to grow beyond the death benefit. In order for it to remain life insurance, the death benefit has to increase. There has to be a pure amount of death benefit remaining in the policy. It may only be $10,000 or $15,000 of death benefit, and the rest will be cash. But in order for it to be considered a life insurance policy, that's what's going to happen. So the policy will could significantly increase higher than the death benefit over time. The $500,000 death benefit on that 30-year-old couple, savings for 35 years, absolutely, it could be in the millions, depending on the growth and how much they put into it, if that makes sense.
It does. I mean, you always think of it's a finite thing, right? You've bought a $50,000 policy, that's all you're getting. But this strategy, it rewards you, actually, right, for being consistent about putting money in, and then if you need it, helping yourself, but not messing with what you want to give to your loved ones down the road. Is that a way to see it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the policy can reduce as you take loans out, but there's still a death benefit left for your loved ones. It can still pay for final expenses and what you need it to. It's all about structuring. And it's all about being close with that agent on a regular basis to see how much you can withdraw and when and how to pay it back. A lot of times you don't even have to pay back the loan necessarily because the growth of the policy could exceed the payments due, and eventually there could be no premium due, and the policy could continue to grow.
How does that, I mean, that's an interesting phenomenon. How does that work? I mean, if you're, is it like you have a, I don't know, $100,000 policy, mm-hmm. How do you end up not having to pay any more premiums and have the policy? I'm just curious. I want to clarify how that works.
Well, that's a good question. Sometimes I don't think about explaining some things, and that's good to know. So let's take that $100,000 policy. As the cash value grows inside, if it's a level death benefit, as the cash value grows, see, when you first take out the policy, you're paying the cost of a risk of $100,000. But over time, as that cash value grows, let's say it grows to $50,000, well, now you're no longer paying the cost of insurance for $100,000. You're paying the cost of insurance for only $50,000. So the cost of insurance goes down. And the second thing is that as that policy grows, the investment on the inside, it's going to continue to grow. And on $50,000, let's say it has a 10%, well, just for math purposes, let's just say 5%. It grows 5% and it compounds 5% in a year. So that's $2,500. Well, let's say the premium is only $1,000. Well, ta-da, at that point, $1,000 of that $2,500 growth is going to the cost of insurance. So you have a net growth of $1,500, which is above the premium. So mm-hmm. the cash value is increasing, the cost of insurance is decreasing, and the growth is increasing. So that's, you reach that point where the growth is higher than the cost of the insurance, and the policy pays for itself, the growth of it does. That makes sense?
It does. And I mean, there really isn't anything from a financial instrument that I can think of that is so favorable to the to the policy owner. I just can't think of anything. how old? I mean, it's just like, wow, best kept secret. How old is this? How long has this been going on for? Is this new? Because I've never really heard of this before.
Infinite banking, that concept came out in the late 80s, early 90s, I believe. Don't quote me on that. But cash value has been growing in policies for a lot longer than that. Probably, I don't know the history on it. I think before I was born, which is, you know, over 50 years old. So, yeah, it's been going, but it's become a lot better, more sophisticated. You used to not be able to take out a life insurance policy and invest in the market, or at least in an index of the market. Mm-hmm. Now you can. In fact, you can invest in any just about any type of investment out there through private placement, if you wanted to. But to traditional, the current savings plans are just a basic interest like a bank, dividends like an owner in a company, mm-hmm. Securities, index, and those are the main ones. Yep.
Now this is where you come into play. What you do is you help walk people, am I correct, through after you learn about what they want. You provide the shortcut, because there's no way that I think as a lay person we would be this sophisticated. But working with your company like Rocky Mountain Settlements, that's your purpose, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. That's why I enjoy this job is I like to be the professional and provide information and advice for someone who is smarter than I am, but they just don't have the time to look into this kind of stuff for insurance.
No,
if that makes sense.
It makes absolute sense. I mean, everybody, you know, they're spending their time trying to live their lives, work their jobs. If they own their own business, that takes up so much time. You may know everything about your business, but when it comes down to being able to be savvy, that's where I think a lot of people, they just don't know. If you don't know, you can't make conscious decisions. I think doing the same thing, expecting a different result, with putting your money in the bank and getting, if you're lucky, 1% interest, or maybe it's less than that now, I don't even know. By the time you take the fees out, you didn't make anything.
Right. Fees and taxes, right?
Oh, God. Yeah, it's disgusting, truly. So this means to me, from an entrepreneurial standpoint, and even if I were making a paycheck or making a salary, this just gives you so much more future power, economic power. It just seems like it's, why shouldn't everybody do this? And we're going to take a break in half a minute. So I want to go ahead and take it now and come back and let you answer that question, because I don't want to cut you off. So let's take our last break. You're living in the solution.
So what's the question, or can I ask you now?
Yeah, you can ask me now. The question I have really is, what? This is for everybody, right? This is not like somebody who's, a maven, a captive industry. This is anybody that can do this. So that's the question I'm going to ask.
Okay. And then there's a couple of benefits I want to tell you about too.
Absolutely. So we'll get right back to that. Okay. So we're coming back. Welcome back to Living Solution. Prior to the break, we were talking about how this is every man's strategy. I don't think there's anybody, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Wirtz, everybody can access this and benefit from this, whether they're multimillionaire, Fortune 500, or somebody making a paycheck, right?
Absolutely. This product, this concept, it doesn't discriminate. So Now, I will say for someone that tries, let's say a 25-year-old that catches this concept, it's going to have a much bigger impact as opposed to someone in their late 50s or 60s because they have less time to build up the savings and the insurance is typically more expensive as you get older. So, yeah, it can affect people as they get older or if they're less healthy because their cost of insurance is higher. So their savings won't be as much, but they are still entitled and can receive growth as well. Absolutely.
Well, I think, let's talk about the older population because we have to really consider now Social Security and whether it's even going to be here for us. And I don't think the average Social Security recipient is getting enough money to really make ends meet. So let's say you're in your late 50s, early 60s. Obviously, you just answered the question, which it's worth it to make the move, correct?
Yes, it is. And it's worth it to go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. I mean to cut you off.
So for someone in their 50s or 60s that learns about this concept, again, this is where even if it's a small amount of money, it's going to come out tax-free. So usually for someone older, if they have, they've usually acquired some wealth by this point. Maybe they paid off their mortgage even by this point. So they're acquiring, they have a lot more discretionary income. They can afford to overfund a life insurance policy or pay a larger premium than someone just getting started with a young family and a mortgage. And they can also, like I mentioned earlier, they can dump a premium into a policy, a size of, you know, $50,000 or more they can dump into a policy to help diversify their investments and reduce their tax risk. So it's all about looking at their situation, looking at their health, and showing them what their options are at that point.
Well, I'm going to ask a hypothetical question. Would it be in someone's interest to, you know, change their IRA strategy into one of these?
Yes, absolutely. The amount that they contribute, I would say so. So for someone in their 50s that's they're very motivated to retire soon. They're probably close to maximizing their IRA or 401k. Yeah, something else for them to consider is scale back on what they're contributing into their retirement plan. You for sure should match whatever the employer is going to match. You should pay for the full match, but anything over that you should reconsider and look at funding life insurance, one, to supplement your retirement, reduce your tax risk, and number three, you can leave a legacy for your loved ones. So I would say absolutely, yeah.
Now, I know you wanted to talk about some benefits. What kind of benefits are you want us to know about?
Yeah, so we talked about a concept, a planning concept. There's other planning concepts. That's probably one of the best that I've shared with you, in my opinion. But there's benefits that policies have to get your business. For example, every so often, I mean, over this 30 years, policies have, different types of policies have changed and become better. One of the improvements is that there's quite a few, and it's growing, quite a few life insurance companies that have added living benefits. So not only does you receive benefit when your beneficiary receive a benefit when you die, but you can receive benefits while you're still living. For example, there's what's called a chronic illness and a critical illness and a terminal illness rider benefit. They attach those onto the policy contract. And really what it's doing is it's taking three products and turning it into one. So traditionally you got your life insurance, you pay your premiums, you die, your beneficiaries get the benefit. Now, with a critical illness benefit on the policy, you get cancer, stroke, heart attack, or some of the other critical illnesses that qualify, and you receive a portion of that death benefit while you're still living to pay for medical bills, as well as help you have income while you're laid up, not able to work. That's the critical illness. You have a critical illness that happens. The chronic illness is more of a long-term care benefit, where these are expensive by themselves, but when you have them in conjunction with the life insurance policy, it seems like they are a lot less costly. So what happens is you have that $500,000 death benefit. And unfortunately, you contract dementia in your 50s or 60s. It happens. And just take that for example. Or someone that's in their 70s or 80s that cannot perform two activities of daily living. Well, they, with the doctor's note, they can qualify for receiving monthly premiums to help offset any home nursing visits or care center costs up to, you can determine the amount. It's up to a certain percentage, but it's not uncommon for people to get up to $10,000 a month or more benefit until the policy ends or, you know, if he eats up all the death benefits. So it's not only a living death benefit, but it's a living benefit now. And it's the cost of adding these riders into one policy is significantly less than buying multiple policies.
That's amazing.
I know, isn't it? To me, it's like everybody on the planet should have their life insurance reviewed, because even term insurance, some of the carriers will have the chronic and critical illness. And for what's close to the same premium, you could have the additional benefits and just a small extra cost. It's a no-brainer for me.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. So I want to go back and talk about when people come to you and you start structuring. I mean, is it a dynamic process? Do you have to know everything up front that you want to do, or can you change things as life changes after the policy is purchased?
Well, it's very flexible. This is because, you know what? Every single client I've ever had, things do not turn out the way we plan. And there's always a bet. You always have to be flexible. So yes, even from the very beginning, I talk with them about life insurance, and we talk long term, because even there's so many variables, you have to be flexible. And that's another reason why it's so important that you get a good agent that you trust. And if you already have that person, great, stick with them. Make sure they take care of you. Make sure they're meeting with you on a yearly basis. You're entitled to meet with them at least once a year and go over the needs, even if nothing's changed, because you never know when there might be something new that's come out that might fit your family's needs that you should be aware of. And that's an agent's job, to be aware of those kind of things. So every year you can look at changing things. It can be flexible.
I like that. Now, we're talking about, you mentioned that since I'm a doctor, I'm interested about the health side of it a little bit more. I know people carry these commercial insurance policies. They're not what they're cracked up to be. There's so many denials that people get stuck with in, you know, investigational, experimental, and they just cut you off. Is there any policy that's specific? I know that not the rider, but just specific for health insurance needs, as opposed to trying to buy a commercial insurance policy.
Well, as far as life insurance goes, you have your critical illness and your chronic illness, and you have to qualify for it. So if somebody's already sick, chances are, if it's related to chronic critical illness, they may not qualify for those benefits. You do have to be underwritten.
Okay.
Now, life insurance, from a health standpoint, the good news is, one of the things I really enjoy is helping somebody that's sick get coverage. They're the ones that need it the most. Mm-hmm. And I'll give my mother-in-law's example. She was on oxygen, morbidly obese, just had some real problems. She had some cardiac problems. She was uninsurable. But today, in today's market, there's a number of companies that will insure her. They do what's called a graded death benefit, where they pay out a portion of the death benefit the first year if she were to die within 12 months, a little bit more in 24 months, and then the full death benefit by the third year and onward. So it's a way for people to get more than what they could on their own and possibly get a full death benefit as well. So I've helped people with chronic and terminal illnesses get coverage. A lot of people don't know that. But your answer to your health question, that's more of a health question answer and issue. And it's one of those things, you know, you have to apply for the health insurance to get the coverage, unless, of course, in today's market, you can renew your health insurance and it should still be able to cover your chronic illness. Yeah. So I don't know if that answered your question or not.
No, it did. I mean, those are the people, you're right, who are on the extreme end, who really are at the mercy of, you know, the tender mercies of whatever hospital, whatever doctor. And I think at least this gives them some peace of mind. You know, the time goes way too fast on the show, but I want to make sure that people know how to reach you, because I think you are, you know, you need to have more business. I know you're probably really busy, but you're exactly the kind of person people need to know about.
Thank you. Absolutely. I would love to give my information. So you can reach me at 801-710-4114. My email address is Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at Rocky Mountain, F as in financial, S as in services.com. That's Scott at RockyMountainFS.com.
Mr. Wirtz, it's just a pleasure speaking with you. You're very clear about what is out there, and I'm going to send folks to you, and I'm going to give you a call. I have to, because this is,
thank you,
this is how everybody can really just take their power back. You only have a few things: your health, your relationship with God. I think both of those are very important. And if you have those two things, it just lets you be a lot more resilient, because I think we're going to have to learn to be resilient in the years coming.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. George. I would also say people can go to my website. It is specialized for settlements, but you have my contact information there as well at Rocky Mountain Settlements with an S.com.
Thank you. I want to thank you again for your time. And it's a pleasure. And I look forward to having you back on in the future. If any new products come on, please don't hesitate to contact me. And I will keep in touch. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You too. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk Events.